Hi, everybody. This is Dean Crisp. Welcome back to Straight Talk on Leadership. This is a pretty special week. We're going to be asking you to help us with our podcast by spreading the word. But we're also going to be talking about some of the current trends that's in leadership right now based upon a number of issues. The COVID, for sure. The elections, the unrest with the understanding of the civil unrest. Just a lot of stuff to talk about this week. So we're going to ask you to be a part of this by helping us spread the word. Let people know about our podcast. You know, we really want to change people's lives and want to add value. So as we always say, sit back, turn up the volume, get ready, change your life. Hi, I'm Dean Crisp. Welcome to Straight Talk on Leadership. This is what we'd like to say is the no BS zone, where we give you leadership tips, ideas, and practical suggestions to help you become a top leadership performer. Our goal is simple: help you become the best version of yourself and reach your highest potential as a leader. So sit back, turn up the volume, get ready to change your life. Hi, everybody. Dean Crisp on Straight Talk on Leadership. Great to be back in the studio this week. Got some special guests with me this week, and they're not going to be such special guests in terms of their time with us. We're going to start when I do these individual podcasts. They're going to be adding their commentary, their value to the what we're going to be saying in our podcast. So I'm going to be introducing Kelly Corbin, who's the business development director for us at LHLN. And Andrew Crisp, who is doing our podcast. He's actually one of our producers, and he is one of our folks who edits the podcast and puts it out every week. He's going to be on the show with us this week, and we're just going to have a conversation about some of the current trends that are going on in law enforcement, some of the current trends that we see in leadership, and some of those things. And I'm really looking forward to a really good show this week. There's a lot going on out there, folks. We always know there's a lot going on, but particularly in the past several months, been a lot of leadership challenges for us. So we're going to be talking about some of those, and I'm going to be talking about how I've been changing myself and how I've been really focusing on the last several months on improving me and how that's a challenge. And I'm going to talk about some things that I've learned and in the classroom and just share some really good stuff with you. And we're going to have a general conversation between Andrew and Kelly, and they're going to be a part of our show in the future. And when I do the solo podcast, they're going to be adding their flavor to our podcast. They're going to be discussing the items that I discuss. They're going to take them in a little deeper level, and they're going to put them into the practical, applicable in terms of how it applies to them. So we hope you're going to be liking that, because we just want to add the most value that we can to your life. And so we're looking forward to that. So, folks, here we are, Kelly, you and Andrew. We certainly welcome you to the show. Thank you very much for being a part today. And Kelly, I'll let you say a few things, introduce yourself a little more to our audience. And Andrew, the same for you. So Kelly, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dean. As always, it's always great to be back with you. I always enjoy our conversations, whether they're in a podcast or otherwise. I guess a couple things just that the audience knows about me. I have a background in public administration, was in city management for about 11 years. And then after that, continued to do consulting work in local government. So I kind of come at leadership and what you guys go through as law enforcement officers, as well as all the support staff from that angle. And it's going to be certainly interesting to have a conversation about what the current trends are right now. So thank
you. All right. Thank you very much, Kelly. You know, people don't realize this, but you and I have conversations every day, and a lot of those are leadership. When we just talk about the subject of leadership, or how do we apply it to ourselves, to our world, to the things we're trying to do. And we really like have a leadership laboratory almost every day on the stuff that we're trying to execute and the stuff we talk about it. And so we're going to be hopefully in our podcast in the future, going to be sharing some of those, and you can be adding your flavor to some of those. And I always get value in sharing leadership, and we spend a lot of time talking about that when, you know, during the day as we talk, and we talk four or five, six times a day. So, and I got Andrew. Andrew is no stranger to our podcast. He is my son, but he's also one of the account managers and directors for the Allied Universal. He leads people on a daily basis. He was a former baseball player at University of South Carolina, was All-American there. And hey, it's good to have you, Andrew. Talk a little bit about what you do in your current job and those things.
All right. Thanks, Dad. Yeah, it's good to be back on the show. I guess you've already said a little bit, but I graduated from the University of South Carolina, played baseball there, was lucky enough to be an athlete in college. And when I got out, I was a sheriff's deputy for a little bit and transitioned into the private sector. So now I am, like you said, an account manager with Allied Universal. I have two sites and in the Anderson location as well in the Georgia state of Georgia. So, yeah, it's good to be back.
All right, man, I really appreciate it. And, you know, this last several months for not only law enforcement, but everybody in general has been a little tough, particularly with the COVID changes and the COVID challenges. And one day where our numbers are up and now they're down. And now it seems like we're in this steady, steady climb. And we're not sure if we're going to lock back down again. We're not sure, you know, how do we lead in these current times? And, you know, we spent a lot of time in April and May and June talking about the COVID crisis. But the COVID crisis is not the only challenges that we got in leadership. When you talk about the normal leadership challenges that we have every single day, and now we add those on top of it, now we add the election on top of it, and particularly in law enforcement, there was one group. And one thing I don't want to do is to wax political here and to get into our thoughts and we all have our private thoughts on politics. And listen, those are yours and mine are mine. But I want to comment just particularly as it relates to the challenges that we might have. And I'm not particularly trying to swing your thought process one way or another. And that's not the intent of this. But the realities are that one particular party wanted to defund the police, and that was part of their big strategy on, you know, taking back the country. And now they seem to, with the election results as they are, they're going to be in power for the next 4 years, and they're going to have a voice that's much, much stronger in the defund the police. So we're probably going to need to have a conversation about what does that look like? Although it appears that the recent polls have told them that that was the worst issue that they could grab a hold of, that people generally support police as a rule, and they're backing away from that. But I do think that there's a lot for us to begin to watch as it relates to that, because to be honest with you, if Biden is the president, and it does appear he is going to be the president, that he has a history when he was with Obama for kind of the police reforms that we saw during those periods of time. Whether you believe they were needed or not, I'm a personal person. My belief is we did need it. Law enforcement has needed reform for a number of years, particularly in the leadership area. And it's not that we didn't have good leaders, but we kind of just were progressing forward, just kind of doing the same things we were doing every single day while the world was changing right in front of us. The world was changing the way they thought. The world was changing the way they did business. And us in law enforcement, being governmental service, were kind of more reacting instead of being proactive. So I believe police reform has been needed for many, 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 many years. And we're now seeing that. But as in law enforcement or in any leadership position, change can be really difficult. Change can be tough. And if it's not handled the appropriate way, it becomes almost a rock or a boulder around your neck, and you don't really embrace it. And it just, you have to drag yourself through the change. And that's not the way leaders should be doing. So with that being said, we're going to talk about a number of issues today that we see and some of the things that I see that we as leaders need to embrace and to really figure out as we go forward. So, you know, with that, Kelly, you and Andrew, please feel free to chime in at any time and talk about some of the things that you currently are seeing too. So I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are.
Thanks, Dean. I am a firm believer that police did need reform, and they still do need reform. I am a pro-police person. I was a sheriff's deputy. I always have a huge amount of respect for the job that they do and continue to do. But I do see where you come from. The times were changing, and police were still doing the same thing. Even when I was a sheriff's deputy, we were taught probably the same things that the early 90s deputies were taught as far as use of force, as far as anything else. I think it needed to be transitioned into a more community-based policing. I think they were missing, not just, you know, in South Carolina, but everywhere. I think that going back to a community-based police approach could greatly increase the or decrease the tension between the community and the police itself. As far as COVID goes, I think the biggest thing that I learned as far as leadership in the place that I work is just to be honest. Whenever you have to let employees go or fire people because of situations, the decreased hours, or they don't need the security efforts anymore, the biggest thing that I found that worked for me was just to be honest. I called the people that were here for us for years that had to be let go, and I kept them up to date. I told them that this is a temporary thing, and I knew that it was going to be a temporary thing, but just hold on. We're going to bring you back. And not just to be honest, but you know, do what you say you're going to do. If you tell someone that, you know, hold on, you'll be right back, bring them back. Don't, you know, be honest. And the honesty to me was it worked. We were able to, you know, increase the hours as the pandemic went on, and we brought our employees back. But the honesty and upfront, because people were leaning towards you for answers. You might not have the answers, but be honest.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, that brings me to a point that I think it took me. Well, obviously, you're much younger than I am, and I'm glad to hear that you have that perspective. And I'm going to look at it from a little bit different perspective. I think one thing it took me a long time to understand in leadership is that the simpler you make leadership, the easier it is. Now, I've always said this about leadership. Leadership is simple. It's just not easy. And so the more you have simple, honest conversations with people about those things, the better it does seem to make it. And it took me a while to understand that in a leadership position. It took me a little while to understand. I would always try to add a complex kind of formula into a very simple answer, you know? So in other words, instead of giving the simple answer, I was trying to explain the formula that got me to the answer. And when you explain the formula that got you to the answer, most people really don't care about that. They really just care what impacts them. So the more you say to them, you know, you're a valued member of this organization. Reality is we don't have the hours. The reality is we don't have this, but we are committed and we're going to do everything we can to bring you back. So during that period of time, you can do unemployment. You can do the things you can do, but we want you to return here. It's just the realities are the money's not here. And you know, it's kind of like I learned that in talking to employees about salary increases. A lot of times they would expect city council to give them this, you know, larger than city council could afford. And I would just have to go to them and say, look, here's kind of the facts to where we are. Now, it doesn't mean city council doesn't like you. It doesn't mean city council doesn't appreciate you. But the realities are there's a market price for this police position. There's no way I could ever put a value on your life when it comes to what we pay you as a cop. But the realities are here's where we are. I think you make a really good point about, you know, being honest. And what I want to say, and I think your point to take it further is during these times like this, honesty with maturity is extremely valuable. Now, honesty with the fact that you're just telling somebody because you think that's the way things are never works out good. So anybody that I tell to be honest, I'll say, listen, always be honest, but be honest with maturity and empathy. If you're honest with maturity and empathy, the message is generally going to be pretty strong, and it will come across generally like you want it to be. But when you just throw an honest thing out there, well, that's just the way it is, and people don't like me because I tell it like it is, that's honesty, your truth, with no maturity, which lands like a rock on people. And so you really got to look at that. Kelly, I'll be interested to hear what you got to say.
Yeah, I come at it, like I said, from just a slightly different angle, trying to bring in kind of this civilian look at it and also a mother's look at it. So I have two children. One is a senior in high school. One's a senior in college. And so that's been interesting to watch navigate. And to your point about being making sure that you have information, one of the terms I thought of was it needs to be involved information. So that it's not just, this is how it is, this, you know, it's a one-way street kind of thing, but that you're seeking information, not only from an employee, but from what would be your general, what would you say, constituency, I guess. So for example, we are in the largest school district in South Carolina, and the information involvement was horrible with parents. It stinked. And as a result, we still have kids not in school 5 days a week, despite a directorate by the governor. And there's just not a lot of communication that could have happened had there been some common sense applied to it. And to your point, Dean, the district did a great job of explaining all their formulas behind things, but they didn't really get to the nitty gritty. Perfect example of that is school buses. We have a very low number of school buses for the size district that we are. And because of the social distancing requirements by our DHEC, which is our health department in the state, they that has been the primary driver of not getting all kids K through 12 back into school. All they had to do was maybe reach out to parents and say, hey, if you don't really need that bus, if you can get your kid to school, if you can carpool with neighbors, that'll help us. That'll really make a difference in how many kids we can actually get back into school full time. So that's a perfect example of involving people and as part of the information. And then I think also as leaders, it's your job to filter what you're going to say. You have to have a really clear message. The zone's been flooded this year, especially for law enforcement as a profession. I mean, my gosh, it's like the perfect storm. You've had a pandemic. You've had protests, you've had communities burned, you've had your profession attacked as being not noble. And so that is a huge toll for anyone to take. We've seen a huge increase in suicides and attempted suicides among people in that profession when it was already at a crisis before this year even started. So I think that there is a real need for leaders to make sure they're filtering that information and not censoring it, but filtering it in a way that they can apply it back to their people and build them up. Because right now, I think that profession really needs to be built up, and really anyone. I mean, whether it's Drew doing what you did during the pandemic and keeping your folks informed and saying, hey, look, this is not like a traditional layoff. This is clearly a temporary thing. And, you know, I'm going to keep you posted and you'll be back just as soon as we can get you back.
Well, and you know, this has been a really tough time for a lot of us and a lot of people, no doubt, just simply because we've seen challenges that have stacked themselves on top of each other. You know, we've had challenges before, and we've had challenges that have had a very long life, if you will, you know, in law enforcement. Like when you look at the challenges of, let's go back to 93. When we talk about Rodney King, you know, that's a challenge of reform for use of force. And that has a long period of life, if you will. The COVID thing has almost put us into a short-term thought process of, you know, we're going to get out of this thing in the next several months. So what do we really do? And then you talk about the police reform. We saw in police reform, we saw three or four stages, or what I call evolution of civil response to the civil unrest. So what I mean by that is evolution is, you know, we started out with, if you look at the way we used to handle civil unrest, it was very strong, very forceful, you know, very much heavy-handed. Now we've got cops marching with people in civil unrest. So those evolutions came about really, really quickly. And then you see the entire political process of defund the police and, you know, all those things. We've had a lot of challenges. There's no doubt that 2020 will go down as one of the most difficult years. But if you look on the scale of the world and the way the United States of America, anything we've handled, we've been here before. I mean, let's not forget the soldiers we've lost in our wars. Let's not forget the race riots of the 60s. Let's not forget the challenges politically that we've always faced. We've been here before, but when you have a social media, access to social media like you do now and the ability to report every single person who is displeased with the cops, it makes it look like you're in this, how can I say this? You're not only in a pandemic with a disease, you're in a pandemic with the support of police too. We're in a police pandemic of lack of support, and we're in a police pandemic and reform. And so when you look at it, we've almost got three pandemics going on at one time. And so I've got some ideas that I really want to share with our audience on what I have learned in the past several months, just watching myself, you know, and dealing with, you know, and you know, Kelly, and Drew, that we've been discussing over the last several months about our entire business response to this, at LHLN, the Leaders Helping Leaders Network, about how do we respond to these things that were handed every single day. So I want to talk about these things, and I want you guys to chime in and really help me talk through these. But there's three things very specifically I think we can do to respond to this particularly tough time we're facing right now. And the first one is, and I'm going to tell you what these are, and then I'm going to spend some time on them just a little bit. The first one is you have to do an amazing or a very intricate self-examination of yourself. Like as a leader, you literally have to take inventory of you. And so a lot of leaders take inventory of the political wins. They take inventory of the internal wins. They take inventory of everything around them except themselves. And this is a time where self-development and self-examination is key. So if you don't focus on those two things, you're going to be lost. You're literally going to be lost. Think about it like this. Think about it from a really small practical example. Imagine that you are in your first math class that you've ever been in. And you're now just learning math as a new concept. Now imagine that. So imagine that you don't pay attention and you don't study and you don't do anything for 6 months. And then the class moves past you. You will never catch up. You will have to spend that 6 months again on your own personal learning of that subject. So it's like that. If you're not paying attention right now, the whole class is moving ahead of you. The whole universe is moving ahead of you, and you're not examining where you need to fix your issues right now. Now, how I know that's true? Because my whole life, man, I was never good in math because I never paid attention in those early stages of development. But I am learning in leadership, man, you got to stay up on your leadership examination and your leadership development. Number two, you got to be aware of what's going on in your organization. There's a lot of people in your organization right now, and morale's the lowest it's been. Recruitment and retention is the hardest it's ever been. And you have to understand something about recruitment and retention. In the old days of leadership, it was the job of the recruitment and retention or the top brass to keep people in their jobs. That's what everybody thought. It's their job. If we lose somebody, it's their fault. If we lose somebody, we'll just hire somebody else. Well, guess what? Then somebody else's is running out. We don't have that many candidates. Recruitment retention is every person's job. I don't care who it is, the FTO, the clerical work that hired the person that hires them, the person that does the background, the person that does the academy, the person that does everything has a part in recruitment and retention. It is a complete organizational commitment to keep people in your organization, not just one unit. So, but you have to know that's just one part. You got to be aware of what your organization is going on there. And the third thing is you have to give a vision of hope at the same time, a vision of reality of, yes, this is where we are, but yes, this is where we're going. So with that being said, let me hear what you guys are thinking just, you know, from me putting those points out there.
I guess what I would start with, Dean, is I think you're absolutely right on the introspection part. It's one thing that we talk about all the time. And I think the biggest challenge to any leader in what we face, which I just wrote down the three P's, politics, protests, and pandemics, is mindset. I mean, it's the foundation of everything. If you are not consistently taking the temperature of where your mindset is on any given day, you can descend into whatever, you'll be reacting to everything. You know, you talk a lot about responding rather than reacting. One of the best ways to not react is to make sure your mindset is where it needs to be for the task at hand. And then what you mentioned about the organization, you're absolutely right about the recruitment and retention has just been god awful and terrible for police. And we can talk about many reasons for that. But the other aspect too, that I think I've heard you talk about many times that is so true, is you have to be aware of all of those internal conversations that are going on from the different groups. You've got the people that are 101% behind you as a leader, and you've got the others that what you would call is the arsonists, and being aware of how those are impacting the overall mood of the organization is really, really important. And then just, you know, what you said, the third one, vision versus reality, vision of hope versus reality, I think are really good. I think we try to do that here, that, you know, as my challenge as an operations person is to make sure that I'm kind of being the realist and saying, okay, well, this is Realville. This is what could happen. And you tend to be more of the visionary of saying, hey, this is how we can do it. So having a good balance of people that are looking at all those aspects is important too.
Yeah, I agree. Andrew.
Yeah. The biggest question that I would have, and I'm going to bounce it back to you, Dad, is the first point, and you said you have to take a deep look into yourself. As a listener, my question would be, because the biggest thing that I would want is, you're right, you have to read, you have to look into leadership stuff. But the biggest thing that I would ask is, what makes the best leaders that you have ever seen? So if I take a deep look into myself, how can I pull those characteristics out during this pandemic and give it to the people that I lead?
Yeah. And I mean, wow. I mean, what a question, because the one thing there is so many answers, and there's so much I could say about that. But the one thing I want to make sure everybody understands about leadership is this: leadership that I have found, the best leadership is not one thing. So what generally happens with leaders is they will find one or two things that they're really good at, and then they will hang everything they've got on top of that. So in other words, if you go into the closet of a lot of leaders, it's like the one thing you really like to wear is blue suits. Mm-hmm. And you go into their closet and all they've got is blue suits. Now, that's just an example, which means that on every occasion they go to, they're going to wear a blue suit. So a lot of leaders do one thing really kind of good, and it's kind of, they have a lot of talent at it, and they generally hang everything they do on that. Like, for example, if a leader's really good in public, they'll find a way to go around and give speeches all day long. If they're really good at writing memos, or they're really good at the internal stuff they're doing, they'll find ways to write that stuff all day long. What you have to understand as a leader is you've got to be multifaceted. And particularly in today's world, you have to be a lot of things. You can't just be one thing. You just can't have one blue suit hanging in the closet. So it's a thing that I call. So let's talk about a couple of things that makes people really, really good leaders. Okay. Matter of fact, there's three types of leaders that I consider. There's a survivalist leader who does nothing but go around all day surviving, thinking about themselves. There's a successful leader who goes around all day thinking about themselves and their team. They don't see the bigger picture of the organization. They just tend to take care of their own team unit, you know, and when anything goes wrong, they're, and these people are generally successful. But then there's the significant leader that really sees the whole bigger picture. And the faster you think significant, the faster you're going to fast forward yourself and the people around you. And what that means is it's very difficult to do that because significant leaders are always sacrificing themselves for the betterment of other people. So in other words, they don't buy the new cars and keep it. They'll find, make sure their people's got new cars. They don't worry about their raise. They worry about everybody else's raise. They don't worry about, you know, what's going on in their lives, although they do pay attention, but they're paying attention to everybody else's lives and stuff that's going on. Now that's a strong, strong order. Now those leaders, I generally see a couple of things that they do that helps. Number one is they mentor someone and someone mentors them. So they constantly have a coach that's guiding them through the challenges they're facing and they're coaching someone else. So there's two roles that leaders have to take. One is a teacher and the other is a coach. So when a person is a really, really good leader, they're always trying to teach people. They're trying to get them to learn what's coming. Leaders have to see more and before others. So you can't just look right in front of your face. You have to see what's coming too, you know, and you have to kind of know more of what's going on. So leaders have a tendency that if they're mentoring and they're being mentored, they generally are significant. The second thing is they find a way to journal their experiences in a way that they are constantly improving what they're doing. So in other words, most of us have experiences and we just leave them to our memories or to no way to memorialize them. So for me, though, when I think thoughts on leadership, I write them down. When I think about things that I want to say to people, I'm constantly writing those things down. And as a leader, you have to have leadership, has to be on the tip of your tongue. If it's not on the tip of your tongue, when you need it, you won't be able to find it. So when it comes to self-development, you have to realize you will never grow a single person unless you are growing yourself. So you have to grow on a continual daily basis. Now, let's talk about this. And I'm going to do a podcast about this later because I think there's a lot of time needs to be spent on this. But James Clear, in his book, Atomic Habits, talks about you do habits a lot, and it's not one habit that's going to change you. It's a number of small habits. But those habits have a great major impact on you. So I want you to look at it like this. If I were to challenge you and I would say, Andrew, I want you to get better in your life, but here's how I want you to do it. I want you to write down four specific areas of your life where you want to become great at. So I want you to write them down. So if it were me, I'd say my leadership development, my physical condition, I definitely want to be great at that. You know, I want to be great in my mental state where I'm happy, where I'm enjoying life. And then the other I'd say is family. You see what I'm saying? So, and I'm not saying that's everybody's four, but that could be my four. Okay. And what I would challenge you to do is to be 1% better in every single area of those areas every single day. So if I did one thing that would make me 1% better in that area, by the end of the year, I'd be 37 times better in that position. So as a leader, what would that 1% better be? Well, instead of texting somebody, picking up a phone call, you know, I need to have a conversation with you about this. How's your family doing? What's going on? This is where we're heading in this direction. You know, in physical fitness, man, I wouldn't eat that candy bar. I'd cut them calories down and then I'd go to the gym. I'd be 1% better, you know, family life. Instead of turning the TV on at night or instead of constantly watching, you know, the internet, sit down and have a conversation, have a meal, have a, you know, talk, those type of things. Mentally, read, you know, do mindfulness stuff where you really are aware of who you are and what's going on. Take a self-evaluative look. And that's how people get better. Is you have to understand this about leadership. Leadership is a process. It's not one thing. So you have to get better over a period of time. So that'd be my answer.
So Dean, I have one follow-up question on that, which is, I think that's great. And I think most people that I've ever interacted with a few exceptions, always aspire to be the best version they can be. The challenges in the current environment, I would think, would really be tough, even on the most significant leader, to have a tendency to revert to some degree of survival instinct, not just for themselves, but even just as an organization, you know, especially when I think about Minneapolis police, for example. They literally have been defunded and told, go away. If you were chief of police in that environment, I would think that you would be, there'd be a great tendency to revert to survivalism, you know, well, as opposed to significance.
You make a great point about survival. Survival is primal. There is no way to avoid you going to survival mode. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you can have the most mature view of leadership, and the second you get attacked, you'll go straight to survival mode. Now, the key to survival mode is not staying there. The key to survival mode is realizing you're going to survive and then moving forward into how you survive. Now, it's like, think about that for a moment. You ever watched the program Naked and Afraid?
A couple times, yeah.
You ever seen it? I mean, if you haven't watched it, yeah. It's crazy, because you've got people that, a man and a woman, who are completely nude, are put into this environment they've never been in before, where they have to survive for, I think it's 21 days, something like that. 21 days.
21 days.
21 days. So they have to survive in 21 days, and they're given nothing except they get to take one thing with them, a sword, a compass, or whatever it is they want to choose, a pail, whatever they want to drink water with, whatever. Now, the ones who survive, if you will watch that program, the ones who survive are the ones who focus on surviving, but they see it with a 21-day view. They yes. don't see it with, they say, all right, at the end of this, this is what it's going to look like. If they go in there and they start complaining about the day, they start saying, woe is me. I've never been this uncomfortable before. This is the worst experience I've ever seen. When their negative self-talk overwhelms them, they're done. You can almost pick who is done. It's the one who says, you're right, I'm in a fight for my life, but I see myself coming out of this thing, you know? And the ones who are able to see past that general survival minute are the ones that generally make it, because they know where they're going. They're heading towards something that is going to be better than where they are now. So if I was police in Minneapolis, you dang right I'd be in total survival mode. I'd be in that, but I would also make sure that the people had a vision of hope, of realizing that the reality of defund the police is already hitting Minneapolis. They're calling in other agencies now to have to police where they are. Listen, when they categorically change your role like they have in Minneapolis, all stops are out. You have to go back into pure primal survival mode and fight every day of your life. But the only way you're going to make it through that is see you will come out of it. So yeah, it's not going to survival mode that matters. It's how long you stay there.
Right. And I think in a circumstance like that, just as a quick follow-up is, you know, the 21 days, there's like a, you can see that, you know, like you can tell yourself, okay, I can survive this for 21 days. And in a situation like in Minneapolis, they may not, it may go on for 2 or 3 years. They may to devolve into anarchy there before everybody, before the pendulum swings back. So there's not really a defined end.
But I'm more of an optimist on anarchy. I think we'll find they'll have to find a solution. Yeah. They'll have to recognize the realities of no police and all that stuff, where it's going to go. But I do think it's what they don't scare me. Cities like Minneapolis don't scare me. Those cities don't scare me at all. What scares me is these cities where they think that the police support is so strong that they don't have to do anything. Now, those are the ones that scare me, is because they're going to have a rude awakening. When people tell me, man, in our community, people love us so much. Man, we have got so much support here. I say, really? I said, well, I'm going to tell you what. You just ain't shot the wrong person yet.
Oh, gosh.
Or you haven't just haven't faced that circumstance yet that really tries that situation. And the more those circumstances are out there, the more your community is going to come under fire when you least expect it. Those communities are what scare me, is because they don't realize how tenuous police support is, how fragile police support is, you know? And the one thing about police support is you have to work at it every single day, every single day. And it's kind of like I tell leaders this, one of the biggest mistakes that leaders make is they think that developing their team is a one-time event. So in other words, get the right person in the right chair at the right time, and then I don't have to do anything else. That is so dangerous. To really have a good team, you got to develop them every freaking day. If the concept that once you get a good team in place worked, then you would have continual people winning Super Bowls, NBA titles, Major League Baseball titles, the same people every year. That doesn't work. You have to work at it every day because somebody is constantly getting better and the challenges are constantly getting more and more and more, and they're tougher and tougher and tougher every single year. They don't get easier. So what scares me is not the Minnesotas. What scares me is these small communities that believe that they're adverse to police non-support, right, which is not true.
Right.
So, you know, so let's talk about organizational awareness for just a second. You got to be aware organizationally the temperature or the flavor of your organization. Because I assure you, if you look at an organization, let's all envision a bell-shaped curve. You got it? Mm-hmm. So let's all envision the bell-shaped curve. And it kind of goes like that, right? The bell-shaped curve. And you look on each end, you got 10%. So you got 10% great, 10% sucky on the other end. So that means that 10%, all you got to do is turn the lights on and cut the grass, man. They're ready to go. And then on the other 10%, no matter how great things are, they're going to say life sucks. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to realize as a boss that you are continually fighting to push people to the great side instead of the bad side, because the bad side is pulling them that way. The bad side is like a magnet. They're attracting that good group of people that way every day. And you got to fight to maintain that other, you know, 80, 60, 70% in the middle. You got to pull them towards the good side every day. And so organizationally, you got to be aware of where they are. You got to know the temperature. You got to know the morale. You can't overreact. But one of the things that will kill an organization is lack of vision. If they don't know where they're going and they don't have a clear understanding idea of what's happening. So you as a leader, I want everybody to understand this about you as a leader. You have two responsibilities every day. You have a personal responsibility and an organizational responsibility. Now, the personal one is your own self-assessment. It's taking a hard look at yourself. It's doing the things on a personal level, showing empathy, taking care of people we have to do. And then organizationally, you have to be fulfilling the mission, the vision, and the actions, what it takes to what the purpose of your organization is. So every day, you got to do those two things. On one side, you got to be the good person. On the other side, you got to organizationally do that pull. And so you've got to do that. And so organizationally, you got to pay attention to what's going on without question. Third thing, got to provide a vision of hope, but with a dose of reality. You don't want to go out there and say, oh, we're going to be Disney World tomorrow. No, you're not. You need to go out there and say, yes, this sucks. This is tough. But look, this is what I would love to say to every police leader in America. I would love to say this to them. And I hope when we talked about earlier in the show, I want people to start sharing our podcast. I want people to start telling people about the message that we're getting out there. we're doing this because we want our communities, we want each one of you in podcast land to become the best version of yourself, without doubt. We want you to do that. And we want you to, no question, become the best person that you can be. But I would love to say this to every police leader in America. You will never, ever, ever, here it is now, you will never, ever, 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 ever again in your career get an opportunity like this to have so much impact on the future of law enforcement. So instead of saying, I wish this is the way it was yesterday, or I wish we'd bring back tomorrow, or I bring back, you know, what it was like in the old days and stuff like that. It ain't never happening again. But you will never, ever be handed an opportunity to determine the course and the future of your profession and your organization like you are right now. You have got a canvas in front of you that you have a chance to paint the picture that you want in conjunction with your community. That opportunity does not come along but once every 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. It's kind of like one of them 100-year floods. You don't see them but once every 100 years. And we're kind of like that right now. We're in a situation where you're never going to see that opportunity. You saw it for us in when the radios and the cars came in. We had a chance then to change the course of policing for the better. What do? We separated ourselves out of the communities that are in. You know, you look into civil rights, the issue and the errors there. Instead of bringing minorities and police together, we took them further apart. You know, you look at the use of force issues with Rodney King. Instead of us taking an evaluation, we did make changes, but we really must realize today is the opportunity for us to not only bring our people together in the organization, but our communities with us.
Okay. Absolutely. I agree 100%. I think that I've learned a lot from today. I think the points that you have made, me just putting my listener hat on, I've learned a lot, and I really appreciate being on today.
Well, I appreciate it, Andrew. And you know, you and Kelly, as we take these things forward, we're going to be a part of these conversations where we're going to cut. You know what? We're going to plow a lot of ground. You know, when you plow a lot of ground, man, you grow a lot of stuff. So that's what I want to do with people, is to help them become the best version of themselves. And this podcast, you and I and Kelly and Morgan, Morgan is your wife, and we've spent this entire last several weeks planning for the future and looking at what future opportunities, but looking at, you know, what does the future look like? Not only for us, but for everybody that's out there listening to us. And we really want to have an impact on their lives in a positive way. And, you know, we want you, that's the listening audience out there, to really take self inventory, look at your organization, provide that vision of hope with a dose of reality. There's nothing wrong with that. And really take that approach that we can make this situation better, but it starts with us. So Kelly, I'm going to let you say something here and we're going to wrap this thing up.
Yeah, no, only thing I would add to everything you said, I think Drew is right on. A lot of good things to think about. I always try to bring it back to not even non-professional roles, because we're all family members. We're all parents, or many of us are parents, not all of us, or grandparents or aunts or uncles. Think about how you can apply these concepts within your own families, because there's a lot of people that are losing hope because of what we've gone through this year. And I think once you allow yourself to go down that road, it's really hard to pull yourself back up. So I think all these points you made today really help people have a way of looking at things from a different perspective. And so I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, thank you. You know, I always tell people, don't ever say nope to hope, because you can always hope. And, you know, you don't want to lose that, but you do want to have reality to understand that. Embrace the time that we've got. Embrace does not mean you're going to roll and enjoy it like you're enjoying a freaking picnic. Mm-hmm. Embrace it means that you see the opportunities, you want to make the changes, you want to get better on the other side. Listen, when you talk about resilience, all right, I'm going to say this, and you know, I always get on fire when I do these podcasts, man. Mm-hmm. I love doing these podcasts because it just gets me on fire. The one thing you got to understand about resilience is this. Resilience is not just surviving. People think that resilience really is this survival mentality where you're just so resilient that you always survive. No. Resilience is coming out on the other side better. You know, that's what true resilience is when you're resilient, you take what you're faced with and you come out on the other side better. So, you know, with that, I'll say, folks, we've enjoyed the podcast today. Thank you so much. I hope that you have come out better on the other side of this podcast than you were when you started. As we say, please share this podcast. Send it to somebody. Email somebody. I'm going to challenge you to help me get these listenerships up to tenfold to where they normally are. Don't just listen to this and don't just stop listening and then keep it to yourself. Share this with somebody. Get Leaders Helping Leaders Network, Straight Talk on Leadership, to the top of the charts, not because we want to be the top charts, but because we want to really help you change your life and change the lives of others, and you help us become better. With that, as we always say here, folks, share the growth. And until next time, I'm Dean Crisp.
You have been listening to Straight Talk on Leadership with Dean Crisp. Be sure to check out our upcoming live class schedule at www.lhln.org. In December, we will be introducing our newest class, Becoming a Character-Driven Officer, focusing on the new mindset of the 21st century police officer. Don't miss this limited time opportunity. As always, we are scheduling live classes all over the country every day. Please contact me, Kelly Corbin, at the email or phone number listed on our website. Please follow us on LinkedIn at Dean Crisp, Twitter at LHLN5, Instagram and Facebook at LHLN Crisp. As always, the information, instruction, and inspiration are all there from all of us at LHLN to help you put your leadership into action every day. Until next time, we hope you change your life and the lives of those you lead.